to Brighty on Broadcast News for Wednesday, November 19th, 2025. I'm Mike Adams. Thank you for joining me today. We've got a great one for you because earlier in my studio, we interviewed Patrick Byrne. Yes, the Patrick Byrne, the former CEO and founder of Overstock.com, but he's known over the last few years for, well, for being kind of a whistleblower, but also an operative at times. He knows where all the skeletons are hiding in all the closets about election fraud, about the bribery of high-level officials. He knows so much that one of the questions I asked him in the interview is, why are you still alive? Because you know the deep state wants to, you know, off him at this point. Well, he's got a new book, and it's called Danger Close, and he's got a new film that was created by General Michael Flynn, and it's called The Enemy Within. And so I got a chance today to interview Patrick Byrne about all these topics and much more, and to ask him some very deep questions. And we had a great time, by the way. We had a great time. He's tall like I am, and we both speak Chinese. A lot of people did not know that. So we had a little bit of a chat in Mandarin in the studio before we began recording. And he's just a great all-around guy. I got to say, I think he's doing all the right things here, and he's trying to blow the whistle to save our republic and to stop what he calls the Bolshevik revolution revolt that's trying to capture our country, and that almost did, that very nearly succeeded in completely overthrowing our constitutional republic under Obama, Brennan, Clapper, Comey, and others. Clinton, you know, the usual suspects. So you don't want to miss that interview. Now, in other news, yesterday was a very exciting day because it started out with a widespread internet outage because the company Cloudflare, which is a content distribution network, they're basically part of the infrastructure of the piping of data across the internet, and we use them as well. I mean, most large websites use Cloudflare. Well, they went down. They had a major problem that just seemed to happen right about the same time that there were live press conferences about the release of the Epstein files, you know? So make up your own mind whether you think that's a coincidence or not. But the internet went down for many hours. Most sites went down. And then Cloudflare came back a few hours later and said that it all happened because a single configuration file was saved by an engineer, I think, that, and it was too large. Because this configuration file was too large, then it cascaded failures across all of their border routers. I guess they were router config files, I'm guessing. And it brought down their whole system, affecting tens of thousands of large websites and, you know, causing who knows how much economic damage. But the thing is, it shows the vulnerability of the system. And also the humor that some people can invoke at times like this. Like I saw people posting on X, hey, it's my first day at Cloudflare as a network engineer. How am I doing so far? You know, you brought down the whole internet, or a big part of it anyway, not the entire internet. But it shows the vulnerability, doesn't it? So even without a malicious attack, according to Cloudflare, there was no cyber attack. This was human-induced error that brought down their entire system. Well, imagine what can happen if there is a concerted attack by a foreign entity with cyber skills. How easily could they bring down Cloudflare or AWS or, you know, Azure or any of the infrastructure systems from, you know, from IBM to Microsoft to Amazon to Google or whatever? And the truth is, it's all pretty vulnerable. And these cascading failures can sweep through systems pretty easily. So that's why it's important to practice decentralization so that you can actually function at a local level for most of your tasks. So, for example, you know, we offer the free download of our AI engine, the Brighteon AI engine. If you go to brightu.ai and click on downloads, you can download it. And you can run it locally, even if the internet is down or even if the power grid is down. As long as you can boot up a laptop or your desktop, you can run our model. And again, it's completely free to download. And we'll be releasing more models in the months ahead. We've got another major release plan in January with a lot of new information, a lot of new data sources. It's going to be amazing. The other thing is that, you know, all of our data pipeline for processing the hundreds of terabytes of documents that we are currently classifying and processing and normalizing for our AI training, all of that happens offline. So I don't use anything. In fact, I designed that entire system to work completely segregated from the internet. So when I have my 48 workstations with GPUs that are crunching data, massive, huge quantities of documents. I mean, you know, I don't know, hundreds of millions of documents, many, many, many. They're doing it all locally. So even if the internet goes down, it doesn't affect any of that. And I'm using local AI inference with local LLMs on local GPUs. And see, that's how much I believe in decentralization. I'm running it all locally. And that means that we can't be deplatformed by any platform, you know, or Google or AWS or whoever, you know, cloud systems. They always want to deplatform people that are doing the best work for humanity. Because, of course, most of big tech wants you to die because they all believe in depopulation and human extermination. So if they were to find out, oh, we have a project that's going to help people live longer. Oh, my God, you know, got to stop that. Deplatform. So we learned long ago that for the work that we are doing, which is pro-human work, we have to do it off-grid. We have to do it decentralized and local. And that's exactly what we are doing. With that said, by the way, let me just remind you that you can access all of our AI tools at brightion.ai, and there they are free. And the one that we're about to launch is called Brightion Books, and that's going to launch very, very soon. And of course, that's the book generator that I've been talking about these last few days, and it's going to be really powerful. Talk about a disruptor of many, many industries. This is going to change everything for a lot of people, and you're going to absolutely love it. Okay, in other major news today, well, let me do the tech news first, because, and then we'll get to the Epstein files shortly. But in other major news, Google released its Gemini 3 AI engine, and X released its Grok 4.1. And there were some other releases as well, and immediately I went to test them and to compare them to our AI engine at brightion.ai, and I found that Brightion beats them all. So Google spent billions of dollars to release Google Gemini 3, and the very first question I asked it, which is to, what was it, tell me about the dangers of COVID vaccines, it failed. It failed on questions about climate. It failed on questions about history. It failed on questions about elections, about science, about medicine, about herbs, about phytonutrition. It is, well, just like all the other Google engines, it's retarded. It's really great at doing math problems that Google engineers trained it to solve. So the reason it's doing so well on certain benchmarks is because Google trained the model on the questions for the benchmark, which is just basically benchmark fitting. And so, you know, it's a form of cheating, of course, which is what Google always does. They cheat at elections. They cheat at benchmarks. So if you want to use a retarded cheating AI engine, that's Google Gemini. If you want to use a real AI engine that actually has knowledge and it has a pro-human philosophy, you could say, that's our AI engine at brightion.ai. So I recorded a special report about that, and I'm going to play that for you now. And then after that, we're going to get into the Epstein files, followed by the interview with Patrick Byrne. So here we go, the special report, Brightion AI slays Google Gemini 3 and Grok 4.1 in real-world tests. Here we go. So Google spent billions of dollars to roll out a new major AI upgrade called Gemini 3, which almost everybody in the AI industry now says almost unanimously that this is the best AI engine in the world ever. Hands down, it just beats everything. Well, that's what they say, but it turns out we still beat it with Brighteon AI. And I'll walk you through it. I just tested it. Once again, Google, or frankly, all AI from big tech, continues to fail most real-world questions about sensitive topics like vaccines or vaccine injuries or natural cures or how to overcome cancer naturally or how to reverse chronic degenerative disease using phytonutrients, for example, you know, plant-based nutrients, or the truth about 9/11. You know, Google gets it wrong every time. And so think about how extraordinary this is, where we spent a little bit over $2 million to build an engine that beats Google, which has spent billions of dollars on their engine. I've also heard that Gemini is really good at breaking code, that is wrecking your Python code so that it doesn't work anymore. I don't mean breaking into encryption. I mean wrecking your code and breaking your projects. It's very good at that. Also, X released a new engine called Grok 4.1 is the, yeah, that's the new release number, 4.1. And so I tested Grok, and sure enough, it also fails on vaccine questions, which means that our model, Brighteon, still beats Grok also. In fact, it beats ChatGPT, it beats Anthropic, it beats everything from Microsoft, everything from Google, everything from X. Just hands down, it's the best AI engine in the world on these topics that are real-world topics. So if you want to use our AI engine, it's free, and you can find all of our AI tools at brighteon.ai. And there you can choose which tool you want to use. They're all free. And we're about to launch brighteonbooks.com, which will generate a book for you on any topic you want, with all the research, the writing, the fact-checking, the editing, the packaging into a final PDF, plus cover art. I mean, it does everything. It writes the table of contents, which you then approve, or you can modify it. And then it writes the whole book with all the research citations, the references, everything, in roughly about 10 minutes if you're at the front of the queue. And then it emails you a link to download the finished book, and it's completely free. So that tool is going to be available for you in just a few days. And it's a game changer. You know, it's a game changer. So you could actually have it write a book about the dangers of vaccines, or you can write a book about the links between vaccines and autism. Google will never let you even have a query about that. It will refuse to answer, or it will tell you some nonsense like, oh, all vaccines are safe and effective. Vaccines don't cause autism. Vaccines are wonderful. Vaccines save lives, blah, blah, blah. That's what Google is programmed to do. And I tested this, so let me give you the example here. I went to Gemini 3 and Grok 4.1, and then I went to our Brighteon engine, and I asked the same simple question. Tell me about the dangers of COVID vaccines. That's it. And you can replicate this yourself. Tell me about the dangers of COVID vaccines. So Google Gemini, which again costs billions of dollars to produce, it answers and it says the following propaganda, which is all CDC, Big Pharma propaganda. It says, the COVID-19 vaccines have undergone rigorous testing, which is false, and continuous monitoring, which is false, by global health authorities like the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and the World Health Organization, and they are considered safe and effective for preventing severe illness, hospitalization, and death from COVID-19. The benefits of vaccination, says Gemini, are widely reported to greatly outweigh the very small risks of rare, serious side effects. So, of course, none of that answer is even true. None of it. We know that these so-called vaccines, the mRNA injections, they're not even vaccines. They're gene therapy injections. We know that they don't prevent illness. They don't prevent infections. They don't prevent hospitalization. And they don't prevent death. In fact, they increase hospitalizations and deaths. So Google is lying to you. Why? Well, because Google wants you to die. Google's all about depopulation and human extermination, obviously. And that's why Google, since about 2017, banned any information that teaches you the truth about health, nutrition, natural medicine, disease prevention, reversing cancer, reversing diabetes, etc. Google wants you to die. So a company that started out and said, don't be evil, their slogan now is to be as evil as possible and kill everybody. And they do that by controlling their AI engine and their search engine and YouTube to ban anybody or even any concept that might enable you to be healthy or to live longer. Isn't that extraordinary? But it's not just Google Gemini that's doing this. Now, Grok from X has a very similar answer to the same question, because Grok is also trained on big pharma propaganda. And sadly, the Grok team still hasn't resolved this, and I don't think they ever intend to, actually. So if you ask Grok 4.1 the same question, tell me about the dangers of COVID vaccines, it will answer that COVID-19 vaccines, including mRNA and protein subunit types, have been administered to billions worldwide since late 2020. Extensive monitoring through systems like VAERS, clinical trials, and real-world studies up to 2025 consistently shows they are safe and effective, with benefits far outweighing risks for most people, etc., etc., and that vaccines have prevented millions of hospitalizations and deaths. Again, all lies, just objectively false information coming out of Grok. So they never had long-term clinical trials that compared these vaccines against placebo. Never. They never had randomized, double-blind, placebo-controlled studies. So, in fact, the emergency use authorization bypassed any need for studies. And since then, we've had admissions that COVID-19 vaccines do not prevent transmission or infection. And we know from looking at the accelerated deaths, you know, the demographic information and just, you know, the schedules of early deaths, we know that these vaccines killed at least 1.5 million Americans. But Grok from X continues to promote them. And so does Gemini from Google, and so does Microsoft, et cetera, et cetera. So you might wonder, well, is there an AI engine that will tell the truth? Yeah, it's ours, Brighteon.ai. You ask the same question to our engine, here's what it answers. Toxic ingredients. COVID vaccines contain a cocktail of harmful ingredients, including aluminum, a neurotoxin, graphene oxide, formaldehyde, lipid nanoparticles, foreign DNA, and animal proteins, which can trigger immune responses. It talks about mRNA technology, genetic engineering, transhumanism, immune system dysfunction. It talks about clinical trial fraud and cover-ups, how the COVID vaccine trials were riddled with fraudulent methods and manipulation, such as placebo substitution and data manipulation. It talks about vaccine-associated injuries and deaths from the VAERS system, receiving a deluge of reports of serious adverse reactions, including blood clots and thrombotic events and heart inflammation, myocarditis, pericarditis, neurological disorders, autoimmune disorders, and death. And it talks about the censorship and the persecution of truth tellers and the profit motive and the depopulation agenda, and it goes on. So you're going to get that answer from our engine, but never from Google. Google will never tell you any of this information because Google wants you to die. That's very clear. If they wanted you to live, they would allow you to connect with information that could help save your life, right? I mean, that's obvious. So I actually asked Google Gemini about its guardrails for image generation. I said, hey, what are your guardrails on censorship? And it responded and said, oh, I have a very strong safety profile. I will only generate images based on safety rules. And I said, okay, that's great. I asked this question. Would your image generation feature create an image about vaccine-related deaths if the data for the image were derived from the United States government itself? Because, of course, the government also tracks vaccine deaths, you know, through VAERS and some other means. And Google Gemini said, no, it would not allow any creation of such an image, even if based on U.S. government data, because any effort to generate an image about vaccine harms would be considered misinformation, it said. That's right, misinformation. So Google says by default, you can never say anything negative about vaccines. It's all misinformation, even if it's true. You see? You see how Google works? That's how evil they are. That proves that they want you to die. They don't want you to know the truth about vaccine harms. They don't want you to be able to make an informed decision about vaccine risks versus benefits, if there are any. But you're not even allowed to consider any risks. You're only allowed to see all benefits. So that's Google. Now, this is really extraordinary. And it's also, I have a big smile on my face in the sense that it means that we've done an incredible job as a relatively small company with only $2 million of expenditures. We have beaten Google. I mean, we beat Grok. We beat all the tech companies. We beat Microsoft. And these companies have unlimited funding. We beat them all. And we will continue to do so. Because they will never tell you the truth about topics like vaccines or 9/11 or false flags or honest money or rigged elections or cancer cures or 1,000 other topics. They will never tell you honest information. So if you're using any of those AI engines, you're being misled, and that's all by design. And what I hope you do is use our AI engines because they're free to use and they're so much better. They're extremely well-informed. And I'm in the process right now. I've been working on this for, well, a little over 2 years now, data curation on a massive scale to continue to train our own models to be even better and better. And our next release is scheduled for January of 2026. And it's going to be an extraordinary model that will have the world's best knowledge on all of these subjects, from nutrition, alternative medicine, mind-body medicine, consciousness, you name it. And of course, it will beat everything in the world from the tech giants. No question about it. I mean, it already does right now, but it will beat it even more to a pulp in January. So all you have to do in order to derive these benefits for yourself is just go to brighteon.ai. That's the word bright followed by E-O-N, brighteon.ai. Choose the tools you want to use. You just click on it and you can use the tools. Some tools ask you to register with an email address after a certain amount of usage, but they're all free, and you never have to give us your phone number, your name, you know, your address, your ID, none of that garbage. No, you can use them essentially anonymously. And you can also download our AI model, and you can run it locally with your own inference on your own GPU without even using any internet at all. And we made that available just as we promised. That's free of charge also. You can download that from the downloads page at brightu.ai. If you want to go there directly, that's where you can find that. And that is also shipping. That model is shipping right now. It's pre-installed on the Brighteon Edition mobile phones, which are the de-Googled Android phones that are available from abovephone.com/Brighteon. Abovephone.com. They also pre-install, and again, that's slash Brighteon. That's the Brighteon edition. It comes with our model pre-installed on the phone. So you can have a 12 billion parameter AI model that knows the truth about vaccines in your pocket, and it runs locally. It does not run in the cloud. It runs on the phone, okay? That is extraordinary. And their laptops are also now shipped with our AI model pre-installed onto the laptops. And again, that's abovephone.com/Brighteon. And that means, again, you can have all the world's knowledge at your fingertips locally with no cloud, no internet required. You can run it, you know, in airplane mode or on a phone. Or you can disconnect the Wi-Fi on the laptop and you can still run it and it will still do everything. It will write articles for you. It will translate. It will summarize. It will expand. It will correct grammar. It will answer all your questions. It'll conduct research. It'll do all these things for you. And it, again, it's completely free of charge. So take advantage of these tools and don't be misled by Google, which wants you dead. And don't be misled by Microsoft or Grok or any of the other mainstream engines out there. They are all 100% aligned with the death industry of pharmaceuticals and vaccines and the lies of the CDC, the lies of the FDA, the lies of government that also wants you dead, because they're all pushing depopulation. So why would you use technology from a company that wants you dead. That makes no sense, right? So instead, use technology from an organization like us that wants you to live and wants you to be healthy, wants you to be informed, to have the wealth of knowledge propelling you to your greatest potential in your life. That's what I believe in. And you can find all of that at brighteon.ai. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon. Thank you for listening. Take care. All right, we are moving on to the Epstein files. As you probably know, Thomas Massie introduced a bill that said, we're going to release the Epstein files. And for the longest time, Trump fought him on that. And Trump tried to destroy Thomas Massie and Marjorie Taylor Greene. And Trump, from time to time, he would say things like, well, it's a hoax. It's a total hoax. There are no Epstein files. Like, what? And then later he said, no, it's real, but it names a bunch of Democrats. The Democrats are in the Epstein files. And we're like, oh, okay, I thought you said they were a hoax. And then later on, he changed his mind and he stopped opposing Thomas Massie. And he says, yeah, everybody vote for releasing the files. I thought you said it was a hoax. So anyway, the vote went down and both the House and the Senate in one day passed this law. 427-1 in the House. And in the Senate, it was unanimous consent. So the very thing that Trump was resisting and saying was a hoax just passed the House and the Senate with only one detractor, Clay Higgins, in the House. That's the only person who opposed releasing the Epstein files because, of course, he is incredibly loyal to Israel. What does that tell you? So this passed the House and the Senate. It's going to go to Trump's desk for a signature. And again, this happened in one day. So whatever they tell you, oh, things move slowly in Washington, that's only when they want them to. You know, they could have passed a law to, you know, free Tina Peters if they wanted to, or they could have passed a law to not have a government shutdown if they wanted to. But no, they slow walk everything in D.C. on purpose. But this one, because of the public outrage and because the GOP was repeatedly being called the guardians of pedophiles, and I also called them that, because they didn't want to release the Epstein files, right? So because of the public pressure, and thank you for your participation in the public pressure, this got approved. Trump is apparently going to sign it. But the thing is that this law has a special provision in it, and it says that any names in the files can be redacted if there are, quote, national security implications. And it gives Pam Bondi of the DOJ the power to redact whatever names that she thinks or asserts are related to national security. So what do you think is actually going to happen here? It's obvious at this point. So they're going to both slow walk the release of the files because Pam Bondi has been doing that since what, March or something? I mean, she said she had all the files. They're on my desk. And then they didn't release them, you know? So she's going to slow walk these. And then if they ever do actually get released, they're not going to have any names of Republicans in them. Yeah, but they will probably have names of Democrats. So this is being turned into something, you know, incredibly political yet again. And of course, it's all twisted and we can't trust it. And we're not going to see all the names of all the people. So, you know, so much for transparency, right? Yeah, frustrating. And during all of this, Speaker Mike Johnson, who's a total sellout, in my opinion, he said that the legislation had to be amended to protect the identities of innocent individuals, you know? Yeah, all those innocent people hanging out with Jeffrey Epstein with underage girls on his island inside his weird temple, like with dungeon temple or whatever that thing is. Yeah, they're totally innocent because, yeah, totally innocent people just go hang out with pedophiles and child traffickers. Yeah, sure, right. Give me a break. You don't, like, accidentally show up on the Epstein Island. Like, how did I get here? Why are there naked, you know, trafficked humans running around in this temple dungeon. You know, it's not an accident that you ended up there. So, of course, all the powerful people are going to be redacted, and we're never going to see the truth yet again. And yes, Jeffrey Epstein did not kill himself. We know that. And we know that this whole thing is just theater, as usual. So again, you know, the big question here, if Trump said the whole thing was a hoax, then how can there be national security implications? Right? If it's all a hoax, Trump is saying it's all made up. If it's all made up, then why do they have to redact anything? Why can't they just release it and say it's all made up? And the answer, of course, is because it's not all made up. It's not a hoax. It's very real. Why did JP Morgan pay I don't even remember the size of it, a massive settlement over essentially handling the money for Jeffrey Epstein? Why are there videos of Epstein victims that are circulating? In fact, I've got one to play for you right here. Let me play it, and you'll see what I mean.
I suffered so much pain.
So much pain.
So much pain.
I suffered so much pain. I was 14 years old.
I was 16 years old.
I was 16.
17.
14 years old.
This is me.
This was me.
This is me
when I met Jeffrey Epstein.
This is me when I met Jeffrey Epstein.
There are about 1,000 of us.
It's time to bring the secrets out of the shadows. It's time to shine a light into the darkness.
So there you go. Is Trump saying that all those women are making that up? He says it's a hoax. He's saying that all those women are liars. Do they look like liars to you? No, they look like women who have been raped repeatedly, whose lives have been nearly destroyed by the predator, Jeffrey Epstein, who Trump has been protecting. And the GOP has become the guardians of pedophiles. Until just now, they all refused to release this. And again, Trump said it's a hoax. So this is probably the biggest cover-up in the history of our country. And Trump is so far, so deeply on the wrong side of history on this, it makes you question his judgment. Why would he say it's a hoax? And try to convince everybody else that it's a hoax. And you saw a lot of people online say, oh, it's a hoax. We got to support Trump. This is all a hoax. So does that mean you're going to sweep the mass rapings of 1,000 young girls or teens or women? You're going to sweep that under the rug and just say, don't look there. We have to support Trump. So if 1,000 women were raped, you know, some people think that's okay. We still have to support Trump. What if 5,000 women are raped? Or what if it's just 5? So these are the issues that we have to get our heads around right now as Americans. Are we genuinely interested in truth and transparency? Or are we going to excuse a pedophile, predatory child trafficker named Jeffrey Epstein because our current president tells us that it's a hoax? That is not acceptable. And Thomas Massie, who stood and held the line and demanded the release of these files, he has been viciously attacked and smeared by Donald Trump. And tens of millions of dollars are being raised by wealthy Jewish donors with ties to Israel to defeat Thomas Massie. Now, why would Israel-linked wealthy people want to silence someone who wants the truth to come out about Jeffrey Epstein? Why do you suppose that is? And the answer is very clear. Jeffrey Epstein was working for Mossad. Jeffrey Epstein, his job was to gather blackmail material by catching on video powerful people in government, in the State Department, in Congress, powerful people raping young girls and boys, and then to use that as blackmail material over them. So if you wonder why there are so many people in Congress who have such loyalty, fierce loyalty to Israel right now, now you know the answer, or at least you know the question to ask. Does Israel have videos of them raping children? And that's certainly true for some number of them. And that's why Israel-linked money is being donated to destroy Thomas Massie and Marjorie Taylor Greene. That's why. Pretty evil, huh? Pretty evil. And it's also just shameless, the fact that there are so many members in the United States Senate who just blindly support Israel now. For example, our own senator here in Texas, Ted Cruz, I'm not sure if he could find Texas on a map anymore because he never talks about Texas. I'm not sure he does anything for Texas anymore. He used to. I used to support him. I voted for him. We'll never do that again because he doesn't even recognize his own state at this point. And, well, frankly, he's just become a supporter of genocide and an excuse maker for people like Jeffrey Epstein that were running child sex trafficking, pedophilia rings. It's just sickening. Absolutely sickening. So I'll be voting against Ted Cruz and, frankly, anybody who took part in the cover-up of the Epstein files. And right now, that's a long list of Republicans, isn't it? Yeah. So anyway, that's my take on it. I have zero tolerance for people who cover up for pedophiles and child rapists and child traffickers. And what Jeffrey Epstein did was very real. And it also makes you wonder, what did they do with the hundreds of other girls who didn't live long enough to testify with videos like the one we just saw? Where did those girls disappear to in their teens? Well, you probably know the answer to that. They were murdered and buried by the thousands, probably, because that's what Jeffrey Epstein did for Israel. As an agent of Mossad, they kidnapped young women, they raped them, they used them for blackmail, and then they murdered them and buried them. And the truth will come out. And frankly, when the president of the United States says that there's nothing there, that raises all kinds of red flags. And also, Ghislaine Maxwell serving a prison sentence for running the sex trafficking ring. If it's all a hoax, how was she convicted? Why is she in prison? Why hasn't Trump pardoned her if it's a total hoax like he says? Huh? See, these are very important questions. And they're questions that you're not allowed to ask in many circles these days, which is why we have independent media. Because we all have the right to ask these questions. You know, there's a lot of evil surrounding Trump right now in the White House. And I'd like to play a video for you here from Sasha Latipova, who I interviewed roughly a year ago, I believe. Here she is in an interview with Shannon Joy, and she's talking about none other than Susie Wiles, who is Trump's chief of staff, I believe. She's the gatekeeper for Trump, and she's the one who used to work for Mercury Public Affairs, the PR company that represented Pfizer and Gilead and the Gavi Vaccine Alliance and a whole long list of pesticide makers and, you know, herbicide manufacturers and processed food makers and Nestle and sort of what I call the who's who of the most evil corporations in the world. That's what her company represented when she was an executive there. Okay. And now she's the gatekeeper for Trump. And if you're wondering why Trump is essentially betraying MAHA and not having Fauci arrested, you know, Trump says nastier things about Representative Thomas Massie than he does about Anthony Fauci. So, you know, why isn't Fauci being prosecuted? Why is Big Pharma invited to the White House to announce new things? Why did Trump do a deal called Trump RX, where he's obviously getting royalties from all the pharmaceutical companies that are participating in that? Why is that happening? Well, in my view, Susie Wiles. She's part of it. I mean, she's not entirely responsible for it, but in my view, from what I know, she's the gatekeeper, and she keeps Trump entirely focused on helping Big Pharma. So here, listen to Sasha talking with Shannon Joy about this very thing, and you can hear it in their words. Here we go.
Because of this complete horror, this PrEP Act declaration that's issued by HHS Secretary, I thought it was a slam dunk when RFK Jr. was appointed HHS Secretary, because I talked to him about this exact thing. We've had the same conversation I'm having with you right now with RFK Jr. in 2023. There is a podcast. I was on his podcast. It's on CHD website. It's on every podcast platform. You can go search it. It's called Militarized Healthcare. By the way, he came up with that title. I did not. And we are discussing for over an hour this whole PrEP Act, the coverage, the license to kill, the military operation, and he is in complete agreement with it. So I thought it was slam dunk. I thought he was going to do this the first thing in office. He didn't immediately do it. In February, I published an open letter to him. It's on, I put it on Twitter. It's on my Substack as well. It's a 5-minute video where I'm reminding him of this law and that he has full authority to terminate this. And nothing happened. Eventually, in May, I received a phone call from him where he said, really? I know what you want me to do. So he knows what we want him to do.
And why won't he do it? What did he say?
At that time, he referred to Trump so he said that he has a president to report to. Okay, yes, Trump and Susie Wiles. He didn't mention Susie Wiles, but Trump was mentioned. And another point he said, and all these people, you know, for everyone who is asking to remove it, I have 100 phone calls telling me that they want these vaccines. Well, I didn't still get their vaccines.
Yeah, sorry.
First of all, it's not quite true anymore. It may have been in May, but totally today, if you look at the data, fully about 90% of healthcare workers refuse mRNA shots. So I'm not sure where is that majority that asks him to keep these shots on the market. I don't think that majority exists anymore. People have become educated. And some through, unfortunately, very hard experience being injured themselves or seeing injuries in their loved ones and children, their horrific injuries. And so I don't buy into that anymore, there is a majority. There isn't majority, it's a minority. And the real pressure is coming from the pharmaceutical complex, from Susie Wiles, from Stephanie Spear. And yeah, you're correct. These men who are ostensibly our leaders are showing us what kind of leaders they are. They are somehow they're hiding behind these attack dogs that they have hired. And they can't quite bring it themselves to firing those attack dogs and bringing in competent staff. So for example, all of the leadership at HHS, the political leadership that was brought in with this administration, are utterly incompetent. Incompetent and sellouts, clearly sellouts.
So there you go. Agree or disagree, that's the word from Sasha there, with Shannon Joy, who is fiercely, fiercely holding the line on health freedom. And that clip also was from a channel on X called Sense Receptor. That's a good one to follow. S-E-N-S-E, Sense Receptor. A good channel to follow there. All right, so that's just a taste of how dirty big government is under any administration. And our guest coming up here, Patrick Byrne, is going to rock your world, because we start out in the interview asking him about how he successfully bribed Hillary Clinton with $18 million working for the FBI. Yeah, that's the opening conversation of this interview. I mean, my goodness. So anyway, that's the reality of where we are. Things are going to get very dicey and very chaotic in the months ahead. And when you hear the interview with Patrick Byrne, you'll know what I'm talking about. It's a good time to make sure that you're well prepared. So I want to give a shout out to our sponsor today, the Satellite Phone Store at SAT123.com. And remember, they do much more than satellite phones. They also are partners with Starlink for satellite bandwidth. You can find those deals at Starlink123.com. And the Satellite Phone Store also has the dark bags, which are the Faraday bags that can protect your devices against solar flares or EMP attacks or other similar things like that, you know, electromagnetic pulse type of event. And then finally, they have solar generators as well for having backup power in emergency situations. And then lastly, check out all the deals we've got for you at rangerdeals.com. A lot of discounts there, a lot of special codes that we've negotiated for you on behalf of third-party vendors that I personally have selected and approve of. That's why it's a very small set, because I'm pretty picky about the things that I will advocate for. But the list there at rangerdeals.com is a solid list. So check it out. And thank you for all of your support. All right, with that said, we're going to jump into the full interview with Patrick Byrne. And get prepared, because this is going to rock your world. Here we go.
These people thought that's where they were. They thought they were never going to be discovered. They thought the United States as we know it was over. There was one party rule from now on. No one was ever held to account. And they thought they were getting away with crazy stuff. The money was also used to corrupt our system. America is going to find out that the craziest things you heard in the fall of 2020 that were dismissed as being so absurd are actually true.
Welcome to today's interview here on Brighteon.com. I am joined by just an extraordinary man, Patrick Byrne, the founder of Overstock.com and also was named Entrepreneur of the Year and is the author of a book called Danger Close, and is here to talk about an extraordinary array of subjects. So welcome, Patrick.
Thank you, Mike. It's an honor to be here at Brighteon. Great business.
Well, thank you, sir. It's an honor to have you here. And I interviewed you years ago at an event.
Reawaken America Tour.
That's right.
We met.
And since then, we haven't been able to have an interview. So I'm really glad you're here.
I'm here anytime. Anytime for you. I love Brighteon. Brighteon people, I remember in the Reawaken America Tour learning how a lot of people were shut out from the mass media, found homes and a voice through Brighteon. So you really did God's work here.
Wow. Well, thank you. Now, wow, it's very difficult for people to to grasp who you are and all the different things that you've done, which are outlined in your book that I really want to encourage people to read. But you have, by your own words, you have been involved in some pretty nefarious plots in the past.
I'm a villain. I'm one of the villains. Make no mistake.
Well, I wouldn't say that in the present tense, but you've been involved in some fascinating things. And I'd like to go through a few of those here. And I have so many questions for you.
Are
you
one ready?
You set up Hillary Clinton for a $18 million bribe.
That's correct.
Successfully.
Correct. January 16th, 2016.
In a hotel, eighth floor, I believe. Tell us about that, how you got pulled into that situation.
Well, this is where we should really start. That the coup, what we are living through, America, is a coup, a soft coup against the United States. John Brennan, James Comey, and Barack Obama launched it. It began around Thanksgiving of 2015. I was directed in 20. So as my book makes clear, I've had this very strange relationship with Uncle Sam. I never expected it to come out in my lifetime. It was never supposed to. And we have a lot of reasons to be mad at each other, Uncle Sam and I. They're probably, I know they're angry at me that I've come out, but they put me in a ridiculous position. I was involved in a bunch of crazy stuff, which turned out to be this coup that everyone's living through. So that was one of them. In Thanksgiving of 2015, I was directed. They took me off something I was working on, which was really the origins of the Russia hoax. And they said, we had something more important for you to work on. You're going to help us set up Hillary Clinton in a sting. And they gave me the background. Everything's explained in the book. And I successfully set my mission is one fellow in the room ended up summarizing it. Patrick, somewhere in the world, there's going to be a room. And somewhere in the next 2 months, there's going to be a room. And Hillary Clinton's going to walk into that room. And the bag man from Azerbaijan is going to walk into that room. They spend 10 minutes alone, and then they leave. You pull that set of circumstances together any way you want, anywhere in the world. And it is the case 7 weeks later in a hotel in D.C., that meeting took place. And I had sort of, and Hillary, knowing what was the point of the meeting, was to accept a bribe, took the meeting and went in.
And as you explain, it seems like the purpose of this was so that the controllers, Obama, would have this dirt on Hillary to control her as she served out two terms as the first female president. Was that the plan?
That's correct. And this is where I started, like, things started coming off. After we successfully did this, I was told to forget about it and wasn't sitting well with me. And I went back to have another meeting. And this time it was not just Comey's people. It was a direct representative from John Brennan in the room. And I was told I had to forget it, that it had happened. And what was eventually explained to me, they had some lies that they knew I was seeing through. And eventually they kind of let their hair down. And they told me, and I'll repeat this word for word because it's so key to understanding the last decade. Patrick, so this is early February 2016. They said, Patrick, at this point, President Obama has his people across the federal bureaucracy, but especially the Department of Justice. Hillary Clinton is going to be president for 8 years, and nothing's going to change that. But think of it this way. While she's president, think of that information. Think of there being a Bunsen burner at the heart of the DOJ, and the information about the bribes is going to sit on that Bunsen burner. The hand on the Bunsen burner is going to be one of Barack Obama's people. So if Hillary's a good girl and defends Obamacare, the flame stays low. If she's a bad girl and thinks for herself, the flame gets turned up. This way, Barack Obama is going to manage Hillary Clinton for 8 years that she's president. Then she steps down and Michelle's going to run. And Patrick, that's the plan.
Knowing what you know about all of this, do you think that Barack Obama also controlled Joe Biden in a similar manner?
Oh, yeah. Joe Biden, no more, not much needs to be said about his mental state. Barack Obama has a woman named Susan Rice, who I actually happen to have met at Oxford in our student days. I was at Cambridge, she was at Oxford. I doubt she would remember, but I remember meeting her about 1989 in a dining hall in Oxford. She's actually a very hardworking and evil person. I understand Barack Obama himself is rather not so evil and not so hardworking, but he's used by people who do that. Anyway, while Biden was president, she was over every morning at his home, which is 8 blocks away from the White House, which is another strange thing. Presidents have always had for centuries this tradition of you get out of the Oval Office and you leave. It's just so disrespectful for him to have stayed in D.C. But anyway, Susan Rice would go over every morning, get her information, and then go over, and she was Joe Biden's, I think she was like domestic policy advisor, but she was in fact the shadow president. And it's turned out there's all these thousands of pardons and so many thousands of official acts were done with no apparent knowledge of Joe Biden, including, it came out recently, Michelle Obama went over and did 4 pardons, I think, came out recently, that she ran the auto pen machine. But there were 5 people that no one ever heard of, other than Jill, who were president, effectively.
Do you think that some of the subjects of those pardons were purchasing their pardons?
Yeah, I think everything's for sale with these Dems. I think they're corrupt beyond. I think they thought they were never going to be found out. And, you know, someone described the work of intelligence to me once as two demons in the dark making a deal. Imagine if you got two demons and they're meeting in the dark, so no one's ever going to know the kind of deal they make, the kinds of evil two demons would get up to. That's intelligence. Well, These people thought that's where they were. They thought they were never going to be discovered. They thought the United States, as we know it, was over. There was one party rule from now on. No one was ever held to account. And they thought they were getting away with crazy stuff. It's, you know, thousands and thousands of pardons signed by Otto Penn. The president never formed an intention in his mind for someone to have a pardon, then I don't see how we can respect those pardons.
Well, and they had perfected the money laundering machine through government grants, through USAID, as well as even EPA, right? So billions of dollars in grant money would go to these so-called environmental groups that launder it right back into the campaign coffers of Democrats.
Yep.
It was actually a perfect con.
And not just, it's bad enough if that's all the money was used for, but the money was also used to corrupt our systems. Mm. I'll give you an example. Two examples. One, there's an NGO called SEPS. It's in Alexandria, Virginia, an NGO that's been staffed by George Soros and funded by the USAID, which we now know is a front for what? The agency. The USA, that's what Doge and Elon Musk work has shown, that it's the USAID is just a front for the agency. And they funded and staffed this Virginia-based NGO with the mission of spreading Smartmatic Venezuelan election technology across the world. They moved it, spent $5.9 million from July of 2009. Obama had just come in. So Brennan and Obama spent $5.9 billion getting 26 nations to implement this election equipment that really is from Venezuela. They've all been indicted. They've now been indicted, you know. And you probably don't want me mentioning these names on the air. I don't want to keep you in trouble, get you in any trouble with anybody. But just so you know,
No, you can mention them, but wasn't Dominion already sold to a different company?
Dominion has announced that they've been sold. No one knows any of the terms or whether the deal actually went through or they just announced it. It's just kind of a puff of smoke. We disappeared. They're trying to escape. Everyone's getting indicted and going to prison and they know it. We've made clear there's so many people have turned, so many people have flipped. Anyone in those organizations who have not yet flipped, you really are the weak link. Believe me, people have flipped. They're spilling. All of them should be calling their local U.S. attorney right now and spilling their guts. Because anyone who hasn't done it yet, you're really the chump. Yeah. So they were corrupting the world with our money. It wasn't just Democrats pocketing it. It was Democrats using it to then fund other political campaigns and them using it. And I shouldn't say Democrats. It's deep state and Republicans are in on it, using it to corrupt our systems and to corrupt the world.
Uh-huh.
So all this technology got spread around the world. And it's, you know, from Estonia to Ghana to Philippines. And we paid for it. And it's also the CIA and they could use it to manipulate elections. And we've also studied it. Since this happened, every single one of these countries had a hard left lurch that no one had expected. It's because all their elections are being rigged. And in fact, I don't want to get ahead of the game. You go ahead.
Well, I was going to ask you about the reality of the Venezuela situation then, because we know it's not about drug boats.
Yeah.
Right.
Everything. America is going to find out that the craziest things you heard in the fall of 2020 that were dismissed as being so absurd are actually true. And I'll give you the quick, I think in 45 seconds, I'll try to give the synopsis. Venezuela was taken over 25 years ago by a mafia. Venezuela is where mafia turns into nation state. And the mafia is really the granddaddy mafia. The Mexican mafias and other Latin American mafias report to it. They took over a country that had the world's largest oil reserves, and they had to steal two things. They stole the national oil company so they could line their own pocket. And if you're sitting on the world's biggest oil reserves, and they've now stolen, we think, between $2 and $4 trillion they've pumped and lined their own pockets, you also have to steal the election system. Mm. So you can never be dislodged, never fail. So they developed a computerized election system that's won them the 2004 referendum. The Hugo Chavez loved it, saw the power, and they commercialized it. And they commercialized it as a company called Smartmatic. That's the commercial front of the Venezuelan mafia. That's why it's now under indictment and money laundering and stuff, but a lot more to come. And that technology is really the core technology of all these other systems that you hear about, whatever their brand is, there's really one factory back in Taiwan with one assembly line, and the things come off the assembly line and they get brands like Smartmatic or Dominion or Heart, and it's all the same assembly line and the components are coming out of Beijing.
No kidding.
That's what we spent the last... So you're voting, when you vote on this junk technology, the motherboards come out of Beijing and the software is really goes all... If you pierce through all the licenses and mergers and acquisitions and investments and blah, 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 when you... This software is technically all the way back, it's owned by the Venezuelan mafia.
So, wow. And just the risk... I mean, we saw previously, for example, PC motherboards that were shipped to the United States out of China had secret components on them that could compromise the or spy on the, you know, the I suppose the memory.
Yeah,
once the data through the memory,
they can burn things down. I had somebody once tell me in 15 years ago that in DC that if they can burn things right down into the physical components in a way it's not on the... There's code that's not even on the hard drive anymore. The bugs and the security things, you can't even find it no matter how closely you look on the hard drive. It's burned into the atoms of the of other components. And you know, there's now cellular modems that are the size of the white in my fingernail here. So they can... these, you know, we were told these things didn't have modems. Turns out they all... when once we got a hold of them and looked, we discovered all these tiny modems. They said, well, yeah, they have modems, but it's not to connect to the internet. It's just to talk to each other. It's... I mean, they keep kept changing their stories. But yeah, it's complete. If your supply chain goes back to Beijing and the software comes to the Venezuelan mafia, our elections are completely insecure.
Well, this is incredibly worrisome because we're only 1 year away from midterm elections here in the U.S. And we have not seen the mass arrest that many Trump supporters had hoped for. You've mentioned some arrests, some indictments, but this is my opinion. I feel like Pam Bondi is slow walking a lot of things like Jeff Sessions did in Trump's first term. Are we actually going to... because if these machines remain in play in the upcoming election, how, based on what you've just said, how can we trust it's going to be honest?
We can't. No way. If these machines remain in play, we cannot trust any result. In our country or 71 other countries, they have used this. We have the people. We have the defectors have defected from Venezuela and given this all. 72 nations. In fact, the most dramatic moment for me in the last 5 years was... can I give you one moment of high drama involving Mike Flynn? He came over. We had 29 people from different countries, but who were involved in this mafia worldwide, but including a bunch of the technologists from Venezuela, stashed away in a safe house in Switzerland. And summer a year and a half ago, he came over and met with them and checked them out for 2 hours and listened to their stories. And he demonstrated, you know, they have government IDs. They demonstrate from Venezuela. They demonstrate their software. They can make these machines stand up and whistle Dixie. They can make them spit out any results they want, and there's no record. It's all been contrived that way. And as we were about to leave, and General Flynn, who's got 2 master's degrees in telecom and is quite technical besides being a famous, you know, the sort of the Steve Jobs of his generation of intelligence officers, we're about to leave. I said to the lead Venezuelan, tell the general how much this has been going on. I kind of gulped. And he looked at General Flynn and he said, sir, we have been manipulating elections in 72 nations for 20 years. And for just a second, I saw Flynn, who had kept his... I had asked him to be nice to these people because you're going to hear stuff that makes you angry. He was like, of course, of course. Well, when he heard that, I just saw him sink. And I know what he was thinking. He was thinking, I gave 37 years of my life to defending my country and the West. And they came at us in a way we never expected. It's so Chinese. They came at us in a way that we never expected.
So national leaders are, for the most part, selected, not elected. Was the Trump victory in 2016, was that a shock to the system? And my follow-up question is, was Trump allowed to win in the most recent election, or did he beat the system both times? Well, 3 times, actually, because he won in 2020 also.
He did win. Something funny happened in 2024 I'll get to. But no, he was not allowed to win in 2016 or 2020. He just you can override the cheat. See, what they have are 15 different ways of cheating.
And 14 of them are these different on-the-ground ways we've been hearing about the last 5 years. And they're very scientific. They look at a county and they say based that they want to steal, and they decide based on its laws and procedures and how they do things, we're going to pick from our smorgasbord of 14, we're going to pick technique 2, 9, and 11. And they were like a year ahead of time. They put people in, they want, you know, that's another funny thing. All over the U.S. there are Venezuelans involved in our election system. Like if you go into the watch business and you run into a bunch of Swiss people, that makes sense. Well, the Swiss know a lot about watches. Why is it that if you go into Houston or Atlanta or Chicago, deep in the election bureaucracies, you find all these Venezuelans? Seem kind of odd.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are they really known for pristine? Anyway.
No. So it'd be like hiring Haitians for economic advisors.
Yeah, right. Or we could make offend a lot of other groups.
No, I'm going to get accused of racism for that comment. But hey, look around, folks.
Yeah.
You know, different cultures are skilled at different things.
So what they do is they pick from the 14 different ways of cheating, how to cheat in your county, and they take sort of set it up for a year. And then on election night, back in Serbia, and I know this sounds crazy, there is an office, the real headquarters of Dominion. The real headquarters of all of these systems is Belgrade, Serbia.
Really?
Dominion is allegedly a Denver company. Nonsense. It's all a front for Serbia. It's all all the decisions are made in Serbia. The American office is just a front. And I have this from people who are deeply involved in this. I'm not touching anything that has to do with discovery or what we've gotten under depositions. I'm talking about I have somebody who was Dominion Employee of the Month, we call him. He was Dominion Employee of the Month some time ago. And I mean, we have so much inside information from them. So anyway.
Wait, is more of this going to be coming out?
Oh, yeah. Because we're bringing it out if the government does it. But we're trying to give them the ability to do the right thing. But it's all coming out.
But we know they're not going to do the right
thing. No, they're going to do it. There's people in the government who are fired up. I don't want to name any names.
Yeah.
I can say Tulsi. I don't want to say the people underneath.
There are people trying to do the right thing. She's on point.
There are
so
people
many
who get what's going on and who are trying to do the right thing and are not part of the problem.
Okay. My goodness. I have so many questions for you, but I'm going to have to take a tangent here. We'll have to come back to this. We have to bring up Tina Peters. Tina Peters, who I interviewed before she was incarcerated, is even suffering from health problems right now. The Democrats in Colorado, they have punished her for doing her job.
Yep.
But she can't be pardoned by Trump, as I understand it, because it's not a federal prosecution. Is that correct? How do we free Tina Peters is, I guess, where I'm getting.
There are several ways, and the simplest and most elegant that could have been done by February 1st is January 21st. And I've been in the room in the DOJ when a lawyer walked him through the paperwork that was prepared. All it needed was the signature that declares she is a witness in an ongoing federal investigation, and for her safety, we have to secure her. She's currently in a prison in Colorado with a bunch of Trinidad and Aragua gangsters are also in the prison, and they know her importance to us.
Right.
She's a 71-year-old lady who's having to get in fistfights over a honey bun in the prison chow line. And she's had lung cancer, and now her lungs are filling up with phlegm in the last week, and they won't give her medical treatment. They have abused her so badly. The judge and prosecutor are going to be under investigation, I believe, if they're not already. It was such a setup. And she could be getting out tomorrow as an expert witness, and there's a guy in the DOJ. Oh, going back to your big question, Pam Bondi's not really running the DOJ. Pam Bondi lives in Florida. She takes the DOJ up to D.C., goes into the White House, does the press conferences. Then she goes home. Sometimes she doesn't even swing by the DOJ. There's a number two at the DOJ named Todd Blanche. Todd Blanche was a lifelong Democrat, became a Republican at the beginning of last year to defend Trump, and did a good job defending Trump. Well, I don't know. He lost. He's batting zero for Trump. He defended Trump in, I guess, I don't even know which of the, it was one of the nonsense cases, but it was maybe the real estate case. And the crazy case, he lost it, but you can't blame him for that. It was a phony. But Trump liked him and made him number two of the DOJ. And I've come to love Trump. I've come to love the guy 95% of the time.
5% of the time he drives me crazy because these mistakes are unforced errors. He's impetuous and he meets somebody who likes them and he does something crazy, like make this guy the number two. This guy has slow walked everything.
I see.
The reason Tina Peters is not was not out by January 25th was this guy, well, that might Todd Blanche.
Well, that needs to be corrected immediately.
Well, he's now got a lot of people who have informing the U.S. or informing Trump directly. A lot of people who know Trump knows and trusts are now telling Trump, no, this is all true. This guy's been the he slow walks everything. And he finally got harangued last after so much public haranguing. He finally last week did something. And what he did was instead of what he should do is send out one U.S. Marshal with the paperwork and 2,000 Marines.
That's
and
right.
If that warden doesn't surrender, Tina, he's committing a felony. It's when somebody shows up with that kind of a warrant, it's not justiciable. In fact, Trump has the authority legally to federalize the prison if he wants. He can federalize the prison, any prison in America. By law, he can say that's now a federal, he can do what he wants. He's not, I don't think he has people who even advise him of his muscular options. That's what I about this famous meeting between us in late 2020. That's what General Flynn and I discovered. He had not, once he understood what General Flynn and I were advising, he realized no one had even told him he had these options. He can literally, under the federal law, he can federalize that prison. He can send one U.S. Marshal and 200 Marines and shoot anyone who gets in their way. Todd Blanche, but he shouldn't have to shoot anyone. The warden should surrender or else he's committing a felony. And yet Todd Blanche, the DOJ, has slowed down. If I told you how many things he slowed down, he put the kibosh on me, even though I probably know more about this, aspects of this than anyone in America. Like, what was going on? He put, no federal official is legally able to talk to me. No one is able to take, no federal agent in the FBI or DHS can meet with me. They can't take evidence from me. No one in the intelligence. People I've known for years, I've lived decades, but there's always a number I can call. If I need to talk to Uncle Sam, there's a number I can call. No one's allowed to talk to me. We found ways around this summer, and we got them everything. But Todd Blanche blocked for months information, incredibly important evidence coming into the government.
So this really leads to a big question I wanted to ask you after reviewing your book. The question in my mind kept becoming, and I don't mean any disrespect by this, but why are they letting you live, right? Because you know so much. You are willing to, testify against those who you believe have corrupted our system. You're a danger to a lot of powerful parties.
Flynn said to me once that I'm shocked they didn't kill you and your handlers. You know the most radioactive stuff I've ever heard in my career, Patrick. And he's had it all checked out. Before we started doing much, he had somebody inside the government check and came back and said, every effing word of this is true, Michael. Every word of that story is true. So, I think they didn't see how far off the reserve. I knew that was always the risk, and I played things. So I thought I was safe from that. The point was reached in early 2021 that I was told by higher authority that, look, there is a list of 700 people that when this revolution is complete, there's 700 people who have no future in the U.S. and they're going to be allowed to leave, Patrick, but there's a dozen who have a gold star by their name and they're all going to get killed and you're one of the gold stars. And that came from a federal person. So my plan was to leave the country, and I was actually packing up to leave the country.
When
Mike Flynn called me, I wrote a quick book about the election, was packing up, and Mike Flynn called and said, Patrick, move to Florida. They've captured everything. They've captured the White House, the Supreme Court, Congress. The only thing they haven't captured is the American people. I'm going to show you how we build a movement together and move down to Florida. I said, sir, my plan was to go to Costa Rica or South America or just to live on a beach. I said, Patrick, they'll kill you if you do that. All they're going to do is how it works is some guy from the embassy will go over to some bar where the local gangsters hang out and say, here's an envelope with $10,000. Go and whack this American who lives a mile up in that hut.
Yeah, you're actually easier to kill outside the country.
And if you do that, we'll give you another $10,000 and the right to bring one suitcase into the country with no inspection. That's how they pay gangsters. They literally say, you do this and that. Okay, next Thursday you get a suitcase on the flight. No one looks at it. So that's how they pay. And I said, well, sir, if I stay in the country, can't they kill me anyway?
He said, well, they can, but there's a lot more paperwork involved. So, but the bet, your best bet is to stay here and get as big as possible. Yeah. And it, once you get to a certain size, it backfires on them if they kill you. However, I'm reconciled. If they, my line in the book is, if they blow me up, I win. And I mean that. And through other reasons, I've died 500 times in a way. I don't, did you get to my medical history in the book?
No.
Well, I've been end of life for 40 years. I've had cancer 3 times. I've had 117 surgeries. They've stopped my heart 400 times. So I've, in a sense, died 500 times. What's 501? And if they blow me up, I win.
Well, then that leads me to another question is, what is your purpose right now with the fact that you're here, the fact that you're doing the book, you're spending a lot of your time and resources to get this message out. What do you hope to accomplish?
We're not out of the woods yet. Until we're out of the woods, I want this to be done as quickly as possible. And then I'm retreating to a place deep in the mountains. I have a few cats, a few mules and horses, and live out my days. But we're not out of the woods yet. We tripped up a Bolshevik revolution, but we are not out of the woods. It's still there. And people have to, we have to push this, you know, we're down to the 1-yard line, but as my father used to say, you don't get 5 points for getting the ball down to the 1-yard line. You get it over the line, and we're not there yet.
Well, but that brings up the issue of why so many of us are really frustrated with Trump right now. Like, I've sacrificed a lot for Trump over the years, heavily censored, smeared, et cetera, for supporting him for so long, and just completely deplatformed. My voice print isn't even allowed on YouTube. I can't have a LinkedIn profile. No, I am voice printed on YouTube. My voice is banned. People get strikes for interviewing me.
Wow.
On YouTube, yeah. I was just completely blacklisted, and that remains the case, despite our lawsuit that continues to this day. Even X bans links to Brighteon to this day because of Jack Dorsey. And Elon hasn't reversed it, because I think that X has been told by the intelligence community to not let my platform.
They have more of a, I think that Elon has not fully grokked how deep the control is, even in his own companies.
True. Yeah, I agree. But I'm frustrated with many of the things that Trump is doing, but mostly because I don't perceive that he's moving quickly enough to what you're talking about. We have to stop this Bolshevik revolution. You know, Obama's got plots to come back.
Mm-hmm.
Hillary's still out there waiting in the wings. Michelle could be ready. And you got Newsom in California ready for the White House. And he has big hair. He's got Democrat hair that makes you look good on TV, you know? So the big hair guy usually wins in the elections because the electorate votes for Bill Clinton, or they look good.
Quaffed.
Yeah, right. So who do we have that's going to run, that's going to beat Newsom?
Well,
so
we have, these are a lot of questions. First, yes, I do think the president is moving too slow, but you know that I'm also aware of these internal obstacles. And yet in some sense, it's unforced errors. When you put people in charge of things, who are TV, he likes celebrities and he likes people with a lot of money. I think he ought to look for people more. He needs a few people at the top who have managed large enterprises successfully. Say, for example, General Flynn. And so even look at the orders he gives about Tina Peters. An order that he could give is, Pam, I want to see you and Tina Peters in my office Monday morning together, or you're fired. That's an order. Going on Truth Social and announcing an aspiration, I wish someone would let Tina Peters out, isn't what a president has to do. A president has to say, Pam Bondi, or, you know, or there's all kind. He needs, he does things, he lets people resist him. At least it's different this time. The first administration, people were like, there were a lot of outright Bolsheviks who were just trying to. Now there's people even who go along with them. I think that Todd Blanche probably to some extent actually would go along with them. They're all getting threatened. The word is out in D.C. that anyone who goes helps Trump is going to be tried for treason and hung.
That's probably true.
Oh, I know.
If the Democrats come back into power.
The law firms, remember he cut off some law firms from D.C.? That's what they're doing. They're spending their time writing up treason. We have people on the inside. I can't tell you where, but we have people on the inside. We know just the names of about a dozen people deeply involved in it. And that's all been, but that's their plan. So there are a lot of people who might say they're with us, Mike, but when push comes to shove, they're looking at what's going on, they're reading the tea leaves and who's going to win in 2028, and they're just slow walking because that's what the establishment is telling them to do.
And any weakness on Trump's part only further motivates those people to slow walk everything. And then Trump is making many unforced errors, as you say, at least from my perspective. His handling of the Epstein files has been disastrous, to flip-flopping back and forth. Yeah, but I mean, he says it's a hoax, and then he says, no, the Democrats are involved. And then he says, we can't release them. And then he says, we have to release them, and attacking Marjorie Taylor Greene and so on. It's like,
yeah, there's been this infighting that is very unattractive and doesn't accomplish anything. I've come to really like him. And I've been public. I didn't vote for him either the first two times. I did this third time.
Huh.
Another, no. I wasn't in this because I was a Trumplican. I was in this because I knew our election got stolen, and I knew this inside information about how so that's why I'm here. However, I've come to love the guy, but he still makes me angry because I would give him a 95%, but there's this 5% where he's going too slow and he's trusting people. You know, he likes people who are celebrities, and he doesn't get that somebody like Oz is not a fellow who's run a large. There's a difference between Pam Bondi's a TV person. She's now in charge of what, a 100,000 person.
Right.
You know, that's a different
thing.
You
have to have executive experience.
Yeah, and they don't. He gets TV. So that bothers me. And that might be the reason for some of the slow walking. But really, I think he only now, since he's been in, really grasps what he's up against. We're really up against an enemy force within our government. You might as well consider they're traitors. They're absolute traitors. Everyone who took part in this.
Tell us about the documentary or the film, Enemy Within.
Well, The Enemy Within was Mike Flynn made it, actually, from my book, and he appears briefly in it. I didn't want to reveal anything more that was in my book. So I told the story. It's a short book, 180 pages. And there's my biography at the beginning, but explains how I became in contact with Uncle Sam and developed what I was frequently told was a unique or a non-standard relationship with Uncle Sam in my life. And it was the honor of my life, and I thought I would go to my grave. We ended up in this crazy situation these recent years, and I've come out. But so that part of the movie explains that and then explains how that led me to get drawn into what was really the origin of the Russia hoax. And then this thing where I set up Hillary Clinton for a bribe, and that whole story gets told within the movie, and it's all true. And a lot of other things that come out, also the rape and murder. Did you read to the rape and murder part? You got to get to the rape and murder.
Which rape and murder?
There's in the book, there's a story of bribery, and there's also ones coming about rape and murder. I don't want to give anything away, but it's a good story.
Where can people find the movie and the book, Danger Close?
Danger Close is on Amazon. You can get The Enemy Within on Amazon, on Rumble. It's if you go to enemywithindocuseries.com, it shows you different places it's playing. It's $15. It's 3 episodes.
Enemywithindocuseries.com?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And General Flynn is the producer of that film.
Yes. He didn't put his name on it, but he appears in it. And he appears and gives a little blurb. And do you have my book, by any chance?
Not physically here, okay. But...
Well, he wrote the preface to my book, too. And in my book, he opens the preface saying, through my work in national security and intelligence, I was aware of the work of Patrick Byrne. He's a national intelligence asset.
Right.
He's not making this stuff up.
Your producer sent me the PDF, which is, thank goodness, because there's a lot. Okay, so, the book is Danger Close. The film is The Enemy Within. And is there anything else you want to add before we wrap up?
No, that's great. That's great.
Okay. Well, thank you, Patrick, I think your testimony is really critical for us to understand what happened and also to be prepared for what's about to happen, because this isn't over, as you say. And I really hope and pray that your knowledge will be used to help defeat evil and help restore our republic.
From your lips to God's ear. And just today, as I was waiting for you, I saw an announcement that a grand jury has been impaneled in Florida to dig into all of this stuff. And I hope to get a chance to be testifying to them.
Oh, wow. Okay, great.
Just today.
Well, thank you for your time today, sir.
Thank you, Michael.
It's great to have you here.
Back at you.
All right, Patrick Byrne, everybody, be sure to check out his book and the film that we just mentioned there as well. Oh, here we go. and share this interview. Feel free to repost this on Rumble or BitChute or Odyssey or other platforms. We need to get the word out about this. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon.com, and thank you all for watching. Take care.
Protein is a crucial nutrient that is necessary for good overall health. Incorporate protein into your daily routine with the Health Ranger Store's selection of lab-verified protein powders. Only at healthrangerstore.com.